Good morning. Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and this Monday morning of the 26th of January, 2026. And we are on the 26th of January, just to remind you that, you know, time does not wait for anybody. And it's a very beautiful thing, the fact that you are awake and the fact that you can hear and listen to your number one favorite talk radio station. It means that you are blessed, and you know, wake up and do what you can do best. And I was just reading somewhere which is indicating that every day we are making around 35,000 decisions. Our mind make around 35,000 decisions consciously and unconsciously, and you realize to say our life is made up of the decision and choices that we make, because in most cases we may have been born in the same year, same day. We may be identical twins, but we do not have the same lives, because the decisions that we make, they shape our life. Either we make those decisions at critical situations, either we make them happy, or either we make them forced by the situation. And that is why sometimes there is a saying to say, when you find yourself in trouble, when you find yourself in trouble, instead of looking at other people that they sabotage you, or looking at other people that they are not on your side, they are not looking at you, it's quite sometimes important to look at yourself to say, could it be that out of these 35,000 decisions, I'm also a person to blame? And could it be that I need to relook at things that I do? I need to relook at the decision which I make. I need to be a little bit patient, or I need to be a little bit of a thinker before I act. That is why this morning, sorry, it's very important to realize that even if life is in our hands, what we make out of it is what is necessary. And just to look in that. And just before we go to the discussion, particularly starting with international affairs, you know, there are disturbing news. But before we go to that, you know, Manchester United won yesterday against Arsenal. And we see that people were celebrating. People were celebrating. And it's actually a very good thing to look into that. And looking into Arsenal. Maybe they are going to upgrade their game to say Red Devil versus Arsenal. What weapon were they using? Because Arsenal is a very big name to say if you have an Arsenal, but you have guns of 1963. It means that you need to advance. People are using drone because the war has advanced. But from a sport fraternity, that what has been happening. But you know, looking at what's happening in Namibia, the issue of gender-based violence continue to persist, and we see some of these people who partake in this so uncalled for action, either is killing the self and the partner, or injuring somebody because of love. You know, this is something that should not only be condemned, but we must also come to the reality of saying, when we are looking at 2030 and we want to improve our country, we must also look at the real issues to say, what is the real cause of this gender-based violence without being biased, and also find a way to say, how do we assist those who assist us? Because in most cases, police officers, paramedics, nurses, in most cases, they are at the front line, social workers, they are at the front line of assisting these people. This human capital, when they have either their marriage problem or their relationship issues, but we don't really look at them. That's why we are also shocked to see police officers are getting involved in gender-based violence, and also nurses, and also paramedics, and particularly those who are at the front line. And we must also come to the point of realizing to say, those who assist us, in most cases, they also need assistance. A technical advisor also need advice. A lawyer also need a lawyer. And a doctor also need a doctor. That is why we must not just look at people as superhuman beings, but we must find a way on solving these issues. And also to to come to the point of not only looking at the impact, but also look at the root cause. Because in most cases, we just look at the results, but we don't really look at the root cause of those problems to say who have caused that problem. Could it be both they have caused the problem? Could it be some of the things which have triggered? It's always very important to ask what have triggered that action so that with our Karito population, not even 4 million, we must save lives and also protect ourselves, and we must celebrate love. The love must be celebrated, and we must find a way. And also to look at the economic side of issues to say, is it also one of the contributing factors to what we are seeing? Because apart from gender-based violence, we have also seen, marriage going down year to year. And we must also ask ourselves what have happened. What have happened and what need to be done moving forward. And to look at the real issues, because we cannot continue operating like we are in 1999, like we are in the early 2000. But in advanced Namibia should move away from this more and also uncalled for issues. And we look at the real issues that can be able to save us in a very long term. Yeah. Let us look at what is happening at international front. What is happening at international front? It was stated that South Africa will step aside from attending G20 during United States presidency. The government of South Africa, through the Minister of Finance, Enoch Godongwana, at World Economic Forum, indicated that they are not going to attend the G20, not based on their decision, but because the United States of America indicated that they are not going to accredit their delegation. However, Enoch Godongwana has indicated that the voice of South Africa will be heard through the AU, will be heard through African Union. And also to say, after United States, the presidency of the G20 will go to Britain, and South Africa will be happy to attend. And there has been an ongoing diplomatic tension between South Africa and also United States of America. That's why if you look carefully last year, even to the point where Cyril Ramaphosa, the president of South Africa, and his delegation have to go to the US and also explain what is happening in South Africa. But it seems like that diplomatic tension, which has also ended to tariffs of 30% of goods sent to South Africa, sent to United States from South Africa. And also the deep relationship between South Africa and the Eastern world, particularly through BRICS, and also to see some of the punitive approaches coming from the United States of America. But Godongwana said that South Africa will only be represented by AU because of what is and has been happening between SA and the US. And we have to see how things are going to turn out. Because if you really look carefully, what this has cost not only South Africa, but also what it has cost, the trading partners, just Namibia, something that really need to be looked at, and also to see what will happen moving forward. And also to look at this point to say, when you are looking at what's happening now in the world, especially with the United States of America and also the European Union, you realize to say countries are divided. And when you listen carefully, particularly last week when the Prime Minister of Canada was speaking about middle power have to stick together, and also middle power have to find a way to be self-sustaining and also to be independent, you realize to say the world is going through a transformation, and we are at a very important era, not only to take note, but also to find strategies economic strategies that can sustain us moving long term. And as we have been indicating to say, whatever happening at the global political front has a direct and indirect impact in the way we do it at home, either in the way we do business at home. And the decision at the global front must be looked at, analyzed carefully, because it could and it can, and it will, if not now, later on, impact the way we eat bread at home. And it's crucial to have a look. And, you know, looking at the other aspect, looking at World Health Organization, it was stated that the United States has officially exit the World Health Organization. The United States has left the World Health Organization on Thursday. And American officials have stated that the agency had strayed from its core mission and acted contrary to American interests, or acted against American interest. And public health experts are criticizing this move, to indicate that the exit of United States from World Health Organization will impact, you know, global health, and also will also negatively impact, you know, the response of World Health Organization, particularly when it comes to global health crisis. And United States of America President Donald Trump signed an executive order to withdraw the country from the WHO. And this is what have happened. And even though the executive order was communicated last year, the 20th of January, now this decision have taken an effect, and the notice is given, which means United States has now officially exited the World Health Organization. And looking at World Health Organization being an agency of United Nations, you're able to see that the impact is not only going to be in terms of funding, but also in terms of the reaction to, you know, global health crisis. You realize to say, United States of America is also coming up with an alternative, or has a different strategy in controlling multilateralism, where you see that when it comes to the Board of Peace, where analysts have indicated that the formation and the posture of Board of Peace that proposed and established by United States of America under the inaugural executive chairmanship of Donald Trump, there's all the features of alternative to United Nations. And the question that somebody may ask is to say, what will happen in the situation where World Health Organization does not have support of United States of America? Is the world going to come to an end? No, it's not going to come to an end. Is there going to be impact in global health crisis? Yes, indeed. Who is going to be impacted? The developing world. What have the developing world have done when the United States have been assisting World Health Organization? Did you put too much time on dependency on medication and dependency on external assistance than assisting ourselves? Because if you look at particularly in Africa, any international agency which is coming and help, the country started depending into that international agency to that extent that they lose focus and they lose innovation. That is why you have a country like Malawi, and I do not want, it's not only my prayer, it's my thinking also, and also to encourage Namibia not to end up like Malawi. Because a country is full operational depend on donors. Full operational depend on donors. Once donor withdraw, the whole economic system will collapse. And one may also want to ask to say, when these leaders and also the technocrats of the country, well educated to that extent that they even taught at the University of Cambridge and also United States of America universities. These economists from Malawi, when they were coming up with their model, post-colonial economic model, what did they look into, and what other alternative did they find to stand on their own economically or their operating, like what Mekola always likes saying, to say they are operating within the franchise system. It's also a matter of concern that the United States of America withdrawing from World Health Organization, it's a matter of concern, but what will happen moving forward, and what alternative is going to be placed so that, countries will survive, and what is the contribution of the developing world moving forward. Yeah, it's Africa for you. It's Africa for you here. Indicated that Ivory Coast President Ousmane Ouattara has appointed his brother as a deputy prime minister. It's appointed his brother as deputy prime minister in his cabinet, and the same brother of Ousmane Ouattara remain the minister of defense, and this was announced on Friday. After government reshuffle, and Ousmane Ouattara has won re-election in December with nearly 80%, and after government reshuffle, Ouattara decided to say Tene Birahim Ouattara, his brother, will become a deputy PM, deputy prime minister, in his cabinet, and retained the position of the minister of defense. And it's now becoming a trend in Africa, where the president can appoint his relative, not only his relative, but his close relative, either his kids, or his in-laws, or his brother. Say, my brother come here, my brother Shombe come here, will become a deputy prime minister. If things did not go well in cabinet, we'll sort it out at home. And you realize to say this aspect is also like going back into dynasty, and also where the leadership is running within the family, especially in terms of political leadership. Imagine if a brother is a deputy prime minister. Do you think a prime minister will have power? No. Technically, a person is a prime minister, but just because a deputy prime minister and is a brother of of the president, even the prime minister himself, know the story that he's just a prime minister by title, but technically he is the deputy, because power work differently, particularly in the issue of who to choose. Are you choosing your brother, or you are choosing the technocrat who is serving you? But in this case, that is what is happening. And it's the same way when you look in Tanzania. When you look in Tanzania, where you realize to say the daughter of a president is made a deputy minister, while the brother in who had the son-in-law of a president. He's a full minister. And in technical term, if you are looking at the technicality of political power, you realize to say if the daughter is a deputy minister, the minister cannot overrule the decision of a daughter. So it's an unwritten law. And that is one of the things that we need to look at. And it's not only in Tanzania. It's not only in Ivory Coast. But when you look at how presidents are positioning their people within political power, if you look at Uganda, the chief of defense, General Muhoozi, one of the most controversial guy, General Muhoozi Kainerugamba, is the son of the president and is a CDF, and you already know that in terms of power dynamics, it's very difficult to overthrow the presidency. And that is what is happening. And you're also asking yourself, where do you draw the line between my competent son, who I think, no, this one can even become my vice president, or this one can even become the minister of finance. And imagine your daughter is a minister of finance, and your son-in-law, for example, is a prime minister. Even if other ministers have different views, you already know where your power ends. But that is what is happening. Maybe it's competency. Maybe if you take them at the competency test, maybe they will be able to perform. But that is Africa for you. That is what is happening in Africa. But let us look at a short commercial break. Then we'll look at Mozambique. It's not only about crocodiles being in towns due to flood, but also to look at casualty, what have happened, how SADC reacted, particularly when it comes to flooding and also displacement of persons in Mozambique, South Africa, and Zimbabwe, especially looking at the flood and heavy rainfall, which has caused destruction of property, roads, infrastructure, and also destruction or disturbance in the way a business is being done. And let us look at a short commercial break, then we'll look into this case.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngino wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana ono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda do inawa nune udo otukwetera o special angeta shake ngejefa omarudi tayoloka okone ushendi finawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa mbira hetatu natu mbali o hetatu matatu oma filane Eagle FM the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And it's 34 minutes past the hour of 6. We are progressing at an understandable pace. And do not forget the Villager newspaper for today is out. Make an opportunity. Make time to read and expand your knowledge and your thinking. And also get opportunities. We have a lot of opportunities out there. A lot of opportunities out there. Get time and read the Villager newspaper. So, let us look at Mozambique. Let's look at Mozambique. It was stated that more than half a million people are affected by catastrophic Mozambique floods. And more than half a million people being affected by this disaster. And we are speaking about unpredictable weather pattern in 2026. And 640,000 people in Mozambique are in fear of hunger and also diseases mounting. Local authorities are coordinating with country relief agency, the National Disaster Management Institute, to ensure aid reach those in need. It's noted that in less than 24 hours, over 10,000 people have arrived at, National Disaster Management Institute, who need shelter, the increment in food demand, and also medication. And the most affected areas, that side of Limpopo, the biggest impact of this flood has been in agriculture area, and around 40 people have been rescued, and with other assistance, it was stated that members of Portuguese Air Force are also on the ground. And institutions and also agencies such as United Nations Children Fund, speaking about vulnerability of children, lack of clean water, food, and healthcare uncertainty. And this came after weeks of heavy rain. Heavy rainfall in Mozambique, Zimbabwe, in South Africa. And the records are standing to say over 100 people became casualty of this flood in Mozambique. And that's why when we are speaking about disaster risk management, we are indicating to say it's always very important to have a backup, to have a contingency plan, to have funds put somewhere, not slash fund, but finance put somewhere. In case of emergency, you have trained rescue team, you have not only rescue team, but different expertise who can respond to challenges such as challenges of this nature, which happen in Mozambique. And it's not only about flood, because with the risk management, we can also speak about industrial risk. we can also speak about issues such as hunger. Because remember, you can also have double disasters after heavy rainfall, after destruction of properties and displacement of people. Then what face is hunger or is diseases. That is why it is crucial, it is important, it is necessary, it is needed to have a very strong disaster risk management unit. Not only unit, but national response team, and also well-funded. And not only to have people during crisis, but to have standby team that can be able to assist to save lives and also properties. Because we have seen the advancement of the first world countries. When China was fighting COVID-19, they came to the point of building a hospital, state-of-the-art hospital, with that over 10,000 beds. And that was built in 10 days. 10 days. It's not a tent, but it's a well-functioning hospital, state-of-the-art, 10 days. So what does it mean? It means you have capacity, you have human capital that can respond to any situation in the time of crisis, not only risk management, but expert who can coordinate well during crisis and can be able to assist you and save lives. And you're asking yourself a question to say, in Namibia, if you want to build the emergency hospital, even establishing a tent, how long is it going to take you? How long is it going to take you? How many committees are you going to have? How many review committees and subcommittees? How many reports are you going to have? And when is that going to be finished? And in terms of if you cannot do that when you have a sober environment, what if you find yourself in a disaster? How are we going to respond? Are we still going to look outward? How are we going to respond if, you know, yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop and we are speaking about the situation. We are speaking about the situation in Mozambique, especially when it comes to flood, and emphasizing to say in Namibia, are we still strengthening our disaster risk response team and to save lives and properties? Because like the conversation that we had last week with one of the experts in disaster reduction professional, one of the experts in that area, that is Mr. Ngolombe Paulus, indicated to say, with disaster risk management, disaster risk reduction, you don't only need the response team, but you also need the expert that can do research, expert that can have data, because the data that you are going to use to respond during crisis, they must be variable data. And also the aspect of indigenous knowledge to say, how did our ancestors respond to flood long time ago? Because we do not need to think that we are special, we are living at a special moment. The world have existed thousands and millions of years before, and people lived in this world before. They were also intelligent people who had their ways of respond to issues during their time. And the question that we are asking is to say, why we are using modern technology to do prediction in terms of weather? What have happened with indigenous knowledge? What have happened with our indigenous knowledge that we have used a long time ago? And how can we incorporate indigenous knowledge to supplement those drones that we are using now? Because what is very interesting is that when you have indigenous knowledge, you don't only have a competitive advantage, but you have a supplementing advantage to what you already have. Because remember, if I have to tell you that there are things that a super drone can do, and there are things that a super drone cannot do, but indigenous knowledge can do, there are things that can be done by a computer, But the technique that you have got from elders can also be equally successful or can be more effective than what a computer can do. That is why in that situation, you need to look at indigenous knowledge in responding to crisis. Now, while we are at Mozambique, there's also a crisis in crisis to say. In Mozambique, crocodiles appear in towns amid floods because with flood everywhere, animals that live in water, they also find themselves losing their destination because they are also disturbed and they start feeding on people. And the residents of Mozambique are on high alert as crocodiles have started appear across town amid the heavy floods, and the animals are responsible for at least 3 deaths in the country, and that all just happened in January, and 3 people were killed in the Gaza province, and according to the local media, one man was swallowed by a crocodile in Muamba, a small town in Maputo province, and that is what is happening. It's a crisis, it's a humanitarian crisis. It's a crisis that SADC should respond to. And when we are going to speak about security today, those are also things that we are going to include, and also to look at institutions that we're supposed to respond, and what is really happening, especially when it comes to safety, security, and the economy of Southern Africa. Yeah, let us look at the short commercial break. Then we'll be able to look at the conversation for today, especially when we are looking at the relationship between security and also the economy, and also what SADC have been facing for the past 10 decades, and what is our real problem that are impacting the security of the country, and what do we deal with moving forward. So let's look at a short commercial break, then we'll look at the conversation for today, what need to be done, and also what need to be responded to.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%. Is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite okoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Kono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu kondado inawa. nuneudo o tukwetera o special ngeta shake ngejefa o marudi dai loka o pone o jeni fenawa nokumona o ijemo iri nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora tatimwe bali here ni nola natu heali bali no hea ile ko derewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye. The eye.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombeye. And today we are looking at the relationship between security and also the economy, especially when it comes to Southern Africa. And since 1990, Southern Africa has been one of the quite relaxed regions in Africa compared to North, East, and West Africa. And Southern Africa has not been known for coup, not been known for instability in terms of governments. And you can be able to see that between 1990 and also 2026, you'll be able to see that when you put those records together, you realize to say Southern Africa, where Namibia, South Africa, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Botswana, Mozambique, DRC, Angola, and also Tanzania, and Madagascar, you realize to say it's one of the most, has been one of the most stable countries. I mean, stable, region when you are comparing to other part of Africa. But there is something that, we do not, really look into, especially when it comes to security and what are those things which, affect, the security of the country. And when it comes to the country's security, a lot of people, the only thing about security of the country, when they look at terrorism, when they look at terrorism, when they look at political unrest, but there are factors that cause insecurity in the country. You can speak about human security. You can also speak about food security, and you can also look at those things that trigger insecurity in the country and how they will be able to impact the economy. And in that aspect, we also need to look at decisions that are being done, particularly political decisions, because a political decision that is taken at the national level should be a national decision. And it's also quite very important also when our leaders, It's not only ministers, but our leaders who have influence at the national level, when they are taking a decision, shall be well thought of. It should be not a decision to satisfy a political party. And it should not be a decision to satisfy a few people, but shall be thought of, because one political decision can change the trajectory of the movement of goods and can impact even the supply and demand. One good political decision can turn around the country's market, and one bad political decision too can also cause danger to the country. That is why at the highest level, when we speak about security, let us put it at a broader perspective to say looking for example at Zimbabwe, our neighbor. Zimbabwe has been the most economically vulnerable country, and its population have suffered, especially over 20 years of sanctions since early 2000, particularly when the Chimurenga war veteran of Zimbabwe Liberation decided to take the law into their hand and take back the land that they were promised to by Mugabe. And in that aspect, that has really caused chaos in the global platform, particularly when this has checked, or this has really touched the interest of, you know, the investors from Europe. And we have seen that Zimbabwe have suffered sanctions. And looking at the prediction of how much the country have lost, the estimation, looking at the past two decades, Zimbabwe have lost around $42 billion that could have been, you know, used in terms of revenue, either is from trade or, you know, the conducivity of business dealing within the country. But due to that, Zimbabwe have lost around $42 billion in terms of prediction, especially just one wrong political, you know, decision that have impacted that country. And after that, what have happened is that from that decision, when the country got sanctioned, then internal politics became so competitive to that extent that the MDC was getting an upper hand, and there were a lot of political violence which have happened, a lot of killings which have happened, and destruction of infrastructure. But when you come to the point of when it comes to the point of human security, then you can also realize to say, when there is chaos in the country, it's not only about that who is causing chaos, but it's also those who are affected. If you do not have money to move to another country to do business, if you don't move to another country to go and study or work, what happened to you? People died of hunger. People died of diseases because of lack of medication. And the world was watching. And I was also looking at who was sanctioning Zimbabwe. I was shocked to realize that even African Development Bank was also not able to give Zimbabwe money to develop the country. And I was shocked to say, how come the whole African Development Bank not able to give Zimbabwe money? Then I realized to say, African Development Bank is also not standing on its own. It's also getting funding from outside, and it's quite concerning. Now, when one speak of security, as I indicated, it's not only about jihadists. It's not only about terrorism, but it's also about other form that undermine the country's stability, other forms that undermine the country's stability. And one must give credit to our country. Namibia was able to avoid or strategically move through its testing time, particularly post independence. I remember during the I think it's that time when the late Theo Ben-Gurion died. People, when they are giving history of Theo Ben-Gurion, and they are also giving his background. At one point, it's the late Theo Ben-Gurion, and also our former president, Nangurumbumba, there were negotiators there of Avis Bay to get Avis Bay back. But there was a point, apparently, in terms of the records of history, to say, there was a point that the Nyoma got very angry to say, no, guys, if things are not going very well, there's Katusha there in Oshivanda, just take Katusha and we bomb these Boers and go back to their houses and go back to South Africa. But they were that point of crisis, but they have managed to win that diplomatically. And we had a time when Botswana was really killing our people there in Zambezi. And the records are indicating that, it's almost 40 people who got killed by Botswana Defense Force. Not in one day, not in one year, especially those border patrols. And there were people who say, no, Namibia, you guys are coward. Why can't you, sort them out? But, you realize to say, when you're looking at the numbers of people and when you're calculating and looking at the decision that you are taking, you're rather to say, Namibia is so clever to that extent that, during that heated moment where, citizens were crying for blood, our diplomats have saved us to say, no, we have commonalities that we share with, Botswana. And, we are a developing economy, actually. And, that could have cost us more than, what we have gotten. Now, to look into that, how we have, survived, especially to protect our own security. Now, what disrupt our internal security is not, something which, is far away. It's poverty. It's not something that is far, it's poverty. Is the people are at a heated moment, and it's quite very important also to look at that if individuals continue to be very poor and inequality continue to persist, it's becoming dangerous to all of us. The threat to our security is poverty, because when somebody gets the poor, any decision that person is able to take, is easily to be influenced, because when a beggar does not have a choice, it's easy for this person to be influenced to do anything. Either it's committing a crime, or either it's to engage into most dangerous haste. And we are seeing a lot of things which are happening. It could be poverty. And, looking at the security too, one must also be able to realize, to say, when poverty persists, even those who are enforcing law will also be forced, will also be co-opted into those criminal activities. And it can undermine the country's security. And that what have happened in South Africa too. Because when a crime is committed, or when people, majority of the people are vulnerable, majority of the people are in poverty, then even the rich are not safe. That's why I'm always indicating to say, if you are the only person that is working at your village, do not celebrate and do not think you are lucky if you are not assisting others to get somewhere, because they will find a way to eat from you. And you are not going to enjoy that wealth. And that is what the Namibians are not seeing. That, say, you know, I'm the first black guy to do A, B, C, and D. That thing should already stop, because we are dealing with a very big, crisis, especially in terms of poverty. And if you read the Eagle FM, I was very happy to, if you look at our social media, there's a guy who was stranded at the coastal town. He just went for a holiday, but unable to get the money to go back at home in Rundu. But I'm very thankful to my colleague Anakreta to look at that news, and Namibian came in and assisted this guy so that he'll be able to go back home, and he'll be able also to start school. And also do other very important thing. That is only one of the stories that Namibians are going through. But if we think our security, the protection of, or the, if we speak about our security, if we speak about the destruction and sabotaging of our progress in terms of development who come from outside, we are looking at the wrong places. Because if we are not addressing our issues, because remember, like last year when Etosha was burning, when Etosha was burning last year, yes, animals were dying. Yes, there were a bit of uncoordination in terms of, you know, response team. But you realize to say, the police were also guarding the Etosha at the same time because there are also those who wanted to use opportunity to get a few properties out there, such as rhino horns and elephant tusk. You realize how dangerous that is because somebody may literally extend that fire so that he can use it as an opportunity. And you must also think very carefully and also look at which animals were most affected by fire. How many, which animals died? If you look at those pictures, which area and who caused that fire? If you go deep, you'll be able to understand that the threat to our human security is not really coming from outside, but the difficulty of addressing basic issues such as food, shelter, and opportunities too. Because I was asking myself to say, am I being too impatient when I look at, continue asking, where are the data? Where are the movements? Where are the data? Where are the movements? Where are the progress in terms of our infrastructure? I was looking at Jericho presenting his testimony about this, underground drug cartels and all these things. To say, guys, you know what is happening around. You know what is happening. You know who is selling these things and you know who is who. But if you are not speaking about these things, these are the things that we need to undermine our security and also we need to undermine our economy. And nobody is speaking about those things. But yeah, it's a conversation that need to be expanded. It's a conversation that we need to relook into. But if you look at the researchers of conflict resolutions, they'll be able to tell you that even something such as hunger, there's a direct impact between hunger and civil unrest. Poverty, civil unrest. Poverty and the crime. Look at, there have been incidents in Ethiopia and Somalia. That time when you used to think about Ethiopia, when we were growing up, just those pictures of children suffering of malnutrition, and we thought that is only, that there is nothing good about the country. We used to think about that. But we also look at the history of conflicts too, to say the relationship between hunger and security. Now, when you look at where we are now in Namibia, in terms of our rain pattern, we'll also be able to realize that there also could be a possibility that the rain will not rain the way we expect it, and what are we doing about it, and what is the impact of continuation of prolonged suffering of our farmers, and what can it do to the security of the country? To economic security, and also the impact to the supply and demand. And the other thing also is tribalism and self-hate. Tribalism and self-hate. We have seen how much South Africa have tried to put down issues of xenophobia. We have seen. But when you look into Namibia now, and also other countries, you realize to say, we hate each other more than people from outside, not only outside Namibia. But outside Africa too. To say you rather speak to somebody who is from overseas than somebody that you call names. Look at the heated debate on social media. You are Oshiwambo speaking, you are Oshidamara speaking, you are Herero, you are what, you guys are A, B, C, and D. And some of these things, they come as a joke. But if you go back to the history of Rwanda 1993, you can watch a documentary on YouTube, but then you understand how tribalism can cause destruction. To the entire nation. Even those scars are still there. How almost a million people died within 8 months. Just because people were already at a heated debate and somebody has just, alter a word that have caused destruction to those people. And tribalism has been, people we have been trying our best since 1990 to defeat tribalism. But it seems like it's still persisting. It's still persisting. And can be also very dangerous because if you start with tribalism, you can also go until the fear of people from other countries and you become also xenophobic. And the way we treat our people from Southern Africa should also change. But today, when we speak about security threats, we can also go back to the direct security now, such as cyber crime. And cyber crime has been one of the most talked about topic for the past 2 years or so. Because up to now, we still don't have a strong defense mechanism. We still did not incorporate cyber security into our education system, especially primary and secondary education. We still are not having professionals in cybersecurity. That is why that is also what terrorist organizations are using. And we do not have terrorists in we don't have a lot of terrorists in Southern Africa apart from Mozambique. But you'll be able to realize that most of the criminal activities that are happening, particularly transferring of money and stealing of money from people's phone, is linked to terrorist organizations. If you want to believe me, go and read the 2024 and 2025 report of Interpol. Then you realize to say you may not have direct contact with a terrorist, but the terrorists are operating within your country through their branches in terrorist organizations and through their branches in using cyber activities. So that is a conversation, and all these things, if we know we are not handling them very well, they will definitely impact the way we eat our bread at home, and they can really destroy us. Because When it comes to security, a police officer, a soldier, a security at the gate is part of the economic discussion. Good morning.
Jolde.
Yes, how are you?
Don't play for things that are not happening.
Come again?
You know, conflict in Namibia here.
Yeah.
Cannot erupt without the sponsor. Outside. That one I can guarantee you.
Okay.
Namibians themselves.
Yeah. You
That's why he said sometimes when we need to, you know, to be mindful of this thing, you take two things.
Yeah.
You take the issue of Katrivi.
Yeah.
Then you take the issue of the comments that were made by Swadba.
Yeah.
With the US president, something. That thing.
Mm.
The Namibian government need to deal with this decisively. Because the external threat.
Yeah.
They will come in through that way.
That's
the only way. Because when you see sometimes even people who are pushing those things, those narratives that I gave you.
Yeah.
These were people who were defeated politically. Politically you were defeated.
Yeah.
Now you want to such a nonsense.
Mm.
Yes?
I want to ask a question, eh? Have we sorted out, before we look at external, have we sorted out our tribal issue? Do you believe that we are tribalist Islamic?
Great news.
Just hold on.
Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Hello Namibia. The NSA is conducting the Household Income and Expenditure Main Survey from the 28th of April 2025 to the 22nd of April 2026. Our officials in NSA uniforms, IDs and branded vehicles will visit selected households in all 14 regions. Hashtag Your Data Matters.
Yes, I was at the question to say, in terms of tribal issue, have we sorted our tribal way of doing things? Are we?
There is no tribal in this country.
We are not tribalist, eh?
No.
Mm.
And I even see some people who are saying, "Aha, the country was divided among the Basa." You find it, this tribe were here. Mm. Nobody gives that to them.
Mm.
They give that to themselves. Ne?
Okay, okay.
What is there?
Mm.
What is there? And if anybody who thinks that there is tribe here, you cannot solve tribalism through the mouth. Because what you need to do, you must create institutions that are in the infrastructure that are integrating people. Look, when you see people in this country, people like for instance, Dr. Itula and many other people in this country, Mbaza, Monja, Momono, like that, you know, Tsumebam. Those are the true Namibians, and Mbamujo Mbuti.
Yeah.
These are the people who can speak all the language. Why? Because at the time, we're created like that. When you see the school, or Dobla, Donomati, Mati, Wati, all those things, all those sorts of things, or Agustino Mati.
They're combining people, eh?
They were a combining thing because they have to be in boarding school, then they have to be together. Now the only mistake which was created to say Nama Domara Damara Lokasi what. Now in a modern Namibia, when you want to create that, what are you going to do? When you create an extension and you are giving houses, you were supposed to say, look, this house is for the Vambo, this is Nama, this is Herero, Avango, you mix them. In the line like that. You must create institution like that.
Okay.
Infrastructure like that.
You
cannot start on top. But you start with the children. Because the old people, they have already their own mindset, their own problem. But the only person who doesn't have a problem is the children. Children doesn't survive. For them, they are all interested in what? In play. when you create infrastructure, like playground and what, just like that, there's no tribalism in this country. Because on the ground, what we have seen, when it comes even to job opportunity, you will find that the person is not really seeing the tribe. It's friendship. It's friendship. Because people wanted to create a business cartel, you know, within the institution. Sometimes it has nothing to do with tribe. Because you find, sometimes you find it just it's a family issue. Is that a tribe? You just find now there's a family that is running the whole institution in extension. So,
there are point where I don't agree with you. Look, look it in our upbringing. There are things that we also question in our tradition. Because let me say you want to get married to somebody, you are a Shwambo speaking person. Then you pick any tribe. Your parents will say, oh yeah, we understand you. But you must also understand that we don't do that. Sometimes it's that old fear of the unknown. Sometimes you may think, why are they saying the way they say? And the other thing I also want to give you to look at this case. Look at the way things are structured. Look at the public sector, for example. And somebody made a really good point, especially looking at either is police force, either is defense. I'm yet to see, and just for provoking sake, I used to see our maybe CDF who is a bastard, or maybe head of police who is a bastard. I know they are within the system, or maybe head of Navy. Just to see, because I also want to look at the banking sector. You realize to say yes, it can be, but there's also things that are still coming out that this one is just for these people.
I don't want to push that wrong. That's the wrong narrative.
Yeah. What do you mean? Yeah.
You know, appointment must be merit. Simple. Don't remove color, remove age, remove tribe, remove everything.
Yeah.
It should be a merit.
Okay.
That's why I said that. When you take the issue of even the that was circulating on the media.
Yeah.
On the Congo chat, is that right?
Come again.
Is that tribalism?
Which one?
That Kajad who was apparently appointed with the grade 9. Is that tribalism?
No, that one is completely different. It's different.
That's why I said that. In terms of opportunity, that is the mathematic now.
Okay, I want to ask you a question.
You see?
I want to ask you a question, eh? Let me say you are the president of the country one day. Let's look at the future. You are the president of the country maybe in 20 years. Then you realize that you find all the best competent people that you find, either in finance, in planning, in defense, in economics. Let me say you are merit driven in economics. I don't want to say are you a tribe. Let me say Oshiero speaking. All of them. But they are sharp. They run institution. Are you going to tell me that you are just putting everybody in your cabinet because of competency?
Are you appointing on the
I just want you to answer me on that. No, all of them they can do better. You
it
put
can never be like that.
Why it can't be?
That hypothesis is wrong.
It's competency.
It can never be like that. There's no way you find the institution that all the best are those people that you are talking about. No,
let's
know everything.
Why do
they? No. It's difficult to find it like that.
Okay, then if you find it like that, what happened? There's no probability.
No, calculate the probability if you can do mathematics. You know, I'm not a good calculator, but I know. In a social, now as you are speaking, there's no such a thing. You know, let me take you to the issue of the marriage, for instance.
Yeah.
We still have to say no. But I want to tell you one thing. Growing up, our parents did not want you to marry far from home. Far from home in such that, look, you first need to understand the culture. of that person and the dynamic of that family and everything, because that's the only thing that bring problems in marriage.
Okay,
because
okay.
There are things that have been done in that culture, in that family, that has nothing, that is would cause conflict this time. That is where the problem is now.
It's a practice. It's not that they don't like people.
It's not that they don't like people, but we are saying that's why back then they have to do that research. Or research, like intelligence to find out which are no. That's why you see most of the people, when you look at our old grannies and aunties, when you ask them properly, how she end up in Ongandjera, but she was married in Ndonga. Because that time when they were in school, these two girlfriends, then they say when they are next, I want to get married, man. There's no brother of yours. I have a brother who wants to get married. This was the thing. Now, they have to do all the things like that. It's not because if people are growing up together, they are hardly, they are likely to come together. You understand? They are likely to. As I said, if children grown up together understand each other's cultures and also family dynamic and what, there's nothing wrong with that. That's why I said, even like to find a person from Ongandjera and is married in Ndonga. But you see how? When these guys will get married, this lady was not even in Ongandjera, was not even. It's because of the school. It's a reference from what the best friend here, because the Ndonga lady and Ngajara were friends. Ne?
Okay, now let's
from home. It's not that we are tribal, but first you need to understand that dynamic. That's why when I give you to say, look, if you want to address tribalism, if you see it existed, me say no, it doesn't exist. Have the children create an institution where children are growing up together. Create an institution where all the tribes are living together in the community. Because when you create that extension, like of an Ida police, maybe when you say, and you create a playground. Remember, children have no problem. They play together.
Yeah, indeed.
When they go to school, they are going to school together in that community. Set up their house. When they are posted also, they are together. Now, when they grown up, that's why they will end up speaking all the language. They understand each other. They can eat all the food. Because when they play or when they visit each other in the house like that, they have to eat the food. That's why you find even some tribes, we don't eat this. Those are bamboo. Why? Because these people were never together. But if you now have to, these people have to marry each other, as you're saying, it's okay. But is it going to rust? I was reading 111 marriage divorce in a week or whatever.
It's one day.
Can we go to the ground to say, look, how many?
Okay, now let's come to the point. You mentioned a very important thing of building institution, because we may agree, we may disagree, especially to say in terms of tribalism. Some may say we do not have some. There are people who are very strong believe to say, if I'm this one, I'm just this one. Others, I do not want to accommodate them. And apart from our institution, how do we bring people together? Because one thing that we should also be very clear is about, let me look at some sport codes, for example, in Namibia. You realize to say, especially those sport codes which require more advanced infrastructure, you realize to say that a lot of our, I don't want to say our black kids, but in terms of the economic structure, we can also be able to see that some tribes, particularly those who operate, they are not really interested into those sports. Not really because they cannot perform them, just because of the sophistication of infrastructure and all those things.
But really, when you take it for the infrastructure, whose responsibility is it? When you go to the city of Windows, for instance, those people that you are talking about, are there? You know, there are black people there. This infrastructure is supposed to be, us, we were very lucky because we found things on the ground that we're supposed to land on. Look at the old and the infrastructure in terms of the extension, in terms of recreational facility, in terms of the school. Everything there.
Mm.
But the new Windhoek, the post-independent Windhoek, what is it? Zero. That's why Mamanyeki, when you find the paragraph, that's Mamanyeki. Sometimes we want to create a problem when there's no problem because of our inability.
Mm.
To think, because some example were already set there.
Now,
when you create infrastructure, that's why you even see kids that schooled with white kids in their private school like that.
Mm.
Those kids, they are more likely to be associated with the white, and the whites are likely to associate with them. Why?
Mm.
Because they grown up together.
Next, they
grown up together. As black, we sometimes want which has nothing to do with us. Or when we are failing, we want to break. We want to bring
when life gives.
Hold on.
The washing machine broke again.
Take control with Express Credit. Get fast, reliable relief when you need it most. Borrow 3,000 to 32,000 Namibian dollars, repayable over 2 to 5 months. Apply for a quick cash loan. Easy application, same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or SMS gift to 32274.
Okay, I want your comment on this before we give opportunity to others. What is your point on poverty and also crisis? Researchers indicated that food insecurity also can also lead to crisis, and unemployment and poverty can lead to crisis. What is your point on that?
You know, first of all, when I start listening to you talk of the issue of the security.
Mm-hmm.
Then let's go directly to economy.
Yeah.
In economy, because you are saying, Namibia is doing good, what? Let's go to the economy.
Mm.
Whose economy is it? Because the economy belongs to who? To the supplier. To the producer. What are you producing? And when you are saying we are doing good in that economy, in that food security, who? Because the owner,
My point was on avoiding crisis such as in diplomacy, not really to say in it's avoiding crisis for us to keep our security. I gave an example of Walvis Bay.
The type of the security that we have in this country is the same as the Akahi Maike, remember the non-core Romans. You understand? He cannot speak because when he speaks, he's going to fall and die. That is the type of security that you are talking about. That is the type of security that you are talking about. The only person who has the security on horror, just they can fly. You see, therefore, that is the security that we are trying to know. That is because you cannot speak. Because the thing is not yours. You are nothing there. You cannot also say, Namibia have done very. Because of you even say more than 40 people were killed. Do you think you can kill the Americans and go away with it?
No, but can you go to war because of 40 people? Then you lose to 20,000.
No, because the people who died, none of their families or friends or children. Therefore, you can sacrifice. Because if you could have the president and you could have his son. Or his child could have killed there. So that you can see his reaction. If you want to test the anger of the king, then he kills the child. you said, the people were good too, because, let's go to the reality to say, look, if his son could have, because they said, if you want to test the anger of the king, kill the son. Just kill the child. His child will see. But if you get killed, it's okay. We are going to take speech there.
I hear you, but are you also not looking at the cost of that?
Yeah, That's why I said that.
Yeah.
The decision not to go to war. I was not saying they must go to war.
Yeah.
But I'm saying you said because they,
yeah,
the president did good because of that issue.
Yeah.
They did not go to war.
No, they handled it very well.
But I'm saying, are you sure? Because those people who died there, none of them, they are just citizens, ordinary citizens. But I'm saying, if you wanted to know that the president was in his rightful mind, he's killed them. Innocent. Then you could see whether he could have fired them or what. There he could have a solution. Because, even the issue of Kaskiri, for instance, fighting to be resolved by the International Court or something. Because the border was not, you are not the one who drew the border. The border is not yours, it's for those international guys that he went to resolve the matter. You understand? You understand? That's why you say, no, the ownership there is not there. There is no security without ownership. Let's forget out about it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Right.
When to come to poverty and security,
yeah,
that one is automatic. Even in Nomembara, if there's no food in the house, there will be no food. Don't even go far. Don't think of anything.
Okay.
That one is something that you know. You don't need to read the book.
Thank you for simplifying it.
Okay.
All right. If there is no food at home, people become very angry. There will be no respect, even if you are the father or you are the mother. We'll just start calling you Maria and Petrus because kids want to eat. And an angry person, a hungry person is an angry person. And we must really look into that, especially when we have, we have already established institution to say to produce food. But why are we not having enough records of what is being produced at our green scheme? But when you read the Villager newspaper for today, you'll be able to see one or two. But why can't we have enough records on what we are producing, where we are selling, and also what is coming and what is going, so that we must fight this, poverty and also food insecurity? Because the caller simplified it very well to say, if there is no food at home, there is no peace, there is chaos. And the economy have already taught us to say, when it comes to scarcity of resources, human beings will fight for their interest, and the more the competition becomes so catastrophic, then will not move forward. Just look at, for example, something that is really closer to my heart, especially when you look at youth development. Imagine having the prediction of 15,000 educators in the street. We can argue about the number. We can either you come to 12,000 or you come to 13. The situation is that we have a crisis only of educator for that matter. Then you have two positions. Then 800 people apply for those positions. And the crisis will also start here. Even if those who are recruiting are corrupt, the corrupt are also fighting because of the scarcity of resources. Because if you have two positions, then you have somebody paid behind closed doors. Even them themselves are fighting. Then you realize how dangerous the situation is. Now, even if you have now this, you have the best 20, for example, going for those two positions, we can all be best prayers. We can all have best coaches. At the end of the day, it's only two people are getting into that. Then that's how dangerous the situation is. And I was reading somewhere, a lady gave her testimony to say how poverty and unemployment almost took her life out. Then you realize also to ask a question to say, what about others who did not come and speak out? Then if this person, and it's not what I'm saying, and it's not what I'm saying I want it to happen. If this person, somebody come from outside and say, no, I'm a jihadist, take this AK-47, take out David is the one who is corrupt. This person, because of the desperation, young people end up doing those things. But it's something that need to be addressed by everybody to say, for how long are we going to go with this crisis? How are we going to deal with it? Are we looking at the matter? And how are we going to expand our institutions? And particularly with food security, because we need to eat first, then we think properly. Because without food, then we are not able to do anything. And you look at also the numbers also of the haves. The haves are also struggling. We have the have and the have not. Even the bourgeoisies are struggling to sustain their lives because people at the edge of the economy do not have proper assistance. You see this thing, you look at what happened to the ex-refugees in Namibia. They may be assisted, but the things are not enough for them. Look at what has been happening. Then you look at issues of Walvis Bay fishermen, and I was not impressed by what they have done to the former ED of the Minister of Labour, Mr. Prometheus Chingwanja, what they have done there. But you realize to say, when you are listening to the voices of these people, when you are listening to the way they speak, you must be able to understand that, we are in a situation where we need to make sure that the basics are addressed. But how do you address the basics? You listen to the previous caller, what they have said. They have stated to say, who has the power and who has the authority so that you assist these individuals? Just the basic food. Yeah, let us look at the short commercial break. Then we'll be able to look at what is happening in the Villager newspaper for today and move forward.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu omafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombeye. And it's 44 minutes. It's 44 minutes past the hour of 7. And so indicated today we'll be looking at what is happening. What is happening with our e-paper? What's happening with the Villager newspaper for today, especially when it comes to issues of economic development? And when you look at the front page of 26 January, the Villager newspaper, top of the page is geo-economic confrontation, an immediate threat. And that is speaking about the global economy, what is happening, especially when global economic players are fighting at the global front. And read that that article until page 2 by Inomino Varihangala, and get the content and context, particularly looking at what is happening or what have happened at the World Economic Forum. And we also look at economic risk, and are we taking notes as a country, and what is our position regarding what is happening at the global front. Yeah, page 3 of the Villager newspaper, there is Mururani campus application, especially when you want to apply for a vocational certificate in horticulture and crop husbandry, that is level 2, national vocational certificate in farm machinery and infrastructure, that is level 2, national vocational certificate in livestock husbandry, that is level 2, and application is ending on the 31st of January 2026, just for $200. If you are a farmer or you have your employee at farm who want these technical skills, make sure that you upgrade them so that it's not only for their own benefit, they can also be able to benefit where they are working, and be able to improve the production or the yield of your farm. Now, looking at page 4, be able to look at Uvungu Vungu Green Scheme to boost seasonal employment. Uvungu Vungu Green Scheme to boost seasonal employment. That is one of the green schemes in Kavango East. There's an article there by my colleague Anakreta. Get an opportunity, and also looking at the production, and also the expansion in terms of employment, particularly looking at green scheme. And looking at the article by Lois Ashimi, they say declining in building plans with 35.7% in December 2025. You're also asking yourself why. Are the people no more interested in building? Are we declining in terms of building our infrastructure? Or there is a constraint in terms of budget, either it's local authority, municipalities, or at national level? What is happening? Is it the economy? Or why? And yeah, looking at page 6, to say, there's an article to say, MTC and MVA Fund. Hand Shanika Nashirongo Secondary School with 8 new classrooms. Shanika Nashirongo got 8 new classrooms from MTC and also MVA Fund. Shanika na Shirongo is some of the schools which have also trained us. But it's a very good thing that MVA Fund and MTC are able to assist in expanding those schools and also making sure that education or quality education is not compromised. And also to look at the role of either state institutions or private sector in national development, not only to wait for the ministry, but also to have initiative from those respective institutions. And page 7, there's also an article on Olympic Committee celebrate young athletes. Get content on the article by HD. And yeah, moving forward, there's also an article on World Economic Forum and sport, to say sport at the World Economic Forum. What was the purpose? What are some of the communique from the president of FIFA at the World Economic Forum? Get content and also context of the Villager newspaper for today. And yeah, page 10, there is a special prize by Woman Block. It's a special prize by Woman Block. Get time to buy Backblow. Get also time to buy 10 kg of Super Maize Meal for $104 Namibian. Mixed portion of chicken for $189 Namibian. You get your 4 kg of mixed portion, then you could drink 2 liter Coke at $21.99. And you know, run, get time, get an opportunity so that you will not feel the pain of January, especially with a special price from Woman Block. For more information, get the time and download the Villager newspaper so that you will not be able to miss out, especially when it comes to news and when it comes to also a special price from your respective stores. But yeah, it's 51 minutes past the hour of 7. And you can be able to engage us in the studio at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401. So you can air your view, can air your opinion, and you can bring about your constructive criticism. And while we are almost at the end of our conversation, we are still indicating to Namibians, especially, we are going to celebrate Loved Day, the 14th of February, Valentine's Day. Ladies and gentlemen, especially the lovebirds, the young ones, let us not mix things. Make your intention very clear. And it's at this time where people end up finding out that, you know, that of who you are called the lover is applauded by 20 men or 20 ladies who are saying, "My partner, my partner." And that will be the beginning of chaos. But you know, love is a very beautiful thing. They say no matter how many times you get hurt, don't stop falling in love. But we must be able to be careful, especially with gender-based violence. And also to understand that there's a difference between desperation and love. And there's also a difference between you know, buying love, because something that can be bought can also reach an expiring date and can also change actually in terms of price. Because if we are buying love in the time that you do not have enough money, it goes to the highest bidder, then you'll be left alone. And this is something that should continue being emphasized, especially looking at the month where individuals celebrate love, and also looking at what needs to be done. Because when it comes to January, January is already saying goodbye this week. And there is no more excuse when we go to February to speak about the New Year resolution, New Year, New Me. Let us start. We are done writing. Let us look at what we need to do. And also this year, maybe it's also a time to look at the self too, especially self-introspection, to say when it comes to this decision, this economic decision, or this personal decision, could it be that I'm the problem? When it's before we start blaming private sector, blaming faith-based institution, blaming government, let us also start with ourselves to say, when we speak about 35,000 choices, conscious and unconscious choices that we are making every day, could it be that I'm also the contributor to my problems? And could it be that the solution to my problem has to do with my thinking and also the way I approach things? Could it be that I am the cause of my problem and I'll be the solution to my problems too? Because if you only find yourself continue blaming others, it could be that we are also the problem. But especially this Monday, we are moving toward the end of the month. Let us not stop supporting, especially the SME operators, those who want to send, you know, their kids to school, those who want to make sure that they got that coins to make sure that, you know, they send their kids to school and they support their families. People are coming from January, and January has been a month of toughness. And just for your own information, know that informal sector, the vendors that we chase every day with our police, either it's our municipal police or it's ordinary police, must be able to understand that it's the informal sector that employ 58% of the Namibians, and is contributing around 26% to the GDP. And when you look at what informal sector is contributing to the GDP, and also what the mining sector contributing to the GDP, you realize to say that money is the informal sector, and we must support and also find a way to formalize the informal sector. And the graduate of IT and computer science, when it comes to informal sector, and use those innovative skills that you got from university to upgrade the informal sector. If somebody who is a shoemaker, a shoe repair, or somebody who is selling kapana, or has a tuck shop, to reach the customers, let's find a way, innovative way, of using those IT skills to say, maybe this person needs the digital marketing, maybe this person needs visibility, maybe this person need to talk to Eagle FM and pay the little price, then can be able to advertise for you. Maybe this person need to change the strategy or need to communicate beyond word of mouth. But all the skills that we are getting, and we invest them in upgrading our people that are holding the line. And remember, when we speak about the illicit financial flow, you'll be able to realize that it's the informal sector that keep the money circulating. It's the informal sector that keep the money in the country. And that is where we go when things get tough. And I hope the diagnostic report of Bank of Namibia, which was presented last year, is not going to be another document that is gathering dust in the shelf, especially in when it comes to upgrading the informal sector. And I'm very happy actually that one of the person who was indicating that this is not just a normal report, but it's a call for action. One of that person is our current governor of Bank of Namibia, Mr. Wanguta, who was presenting to say this very important diagnostic report should not just gather dust, but it is going to be a call for action, because our informal economy is our real economy, and Namibia too is not going to have two form of economy, and we had to see, and also for us to keep tracking progress to say, when you said this, what about what you said last year? What is the progress? That is why when I go to Bank of Namibia, my question is always been to say, you produce a very important document of financial transformation sector strategy. What is the progress? Because we are closer to 2035. And my other question will also be, what is the call for action after you presented that diagnostic report of the informal economy? When you stated that Namibia will no more afford to have two forms of economy, what are you doing? And what is the progress? Or it was just another presentation? So, dear listeners, thank you very much for joining us at Eagle FM Namibia, especially with Early Morning Scoop. And I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Mike Oshoveri to unpack the day. From me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now, and see you around. Sharp, sharp.